This is The Guardian.
Today, Colombia struggles with a big, very big question. What do you do with Pablo Escobar's out-of-control hippos? So, Gina, tell me, how exactly do you go about castrating a hippo?
So, castrating a hippo is the most difficult thing you can ever do.
This is Dr. Gina Cerna. She's a wildlife vet from Medellin in Colombia. And you could say hers isn't your average day job.
First of all, we have to make a plan to capture the hippo. The biggest one is like 3.5 tons.
Wow.
They're so big and so compact with big teeth. So it's really scary because they're absolutely dangerous.
These animals are enormous, like a big fridge on 4 squat legs, but they can move surprisingly fast. Their top speed is 30 miles an hour. That's faster than Usain Bolt. Gina sterilizes them in the wild. It takes a team of at least 10 people. First, to find them.
And then we have to shoot them with these darts that have the anesthesia doses. And you have to wait until the hippo go down. Or maybe the hippo wake up in the middle of the surgery and kill us. So we need a lot of people there.
And without getting too gruesome about this, how difficult is it to actually perform the castration?
Their skin is like 5 centimeters, and then you have fat and then a big portion of muscle. In females, it's so difficult and so stressful to get in the reproductive system because it's a long time from skin to the organs. Like 2 hours to get in.
Okay, that must be absolutely exhausting.
Yes, yeah, it is. And imagine that you're like in the really hot place where it's like 40 degrees.
There's a lot about this I'm struggling to imagine, to be honest with you, Gina. The hippos that Gina operates on aren't your average hippos.
Along the shallow waterways of Colombia's Magdalena River, an invasive species threatens the ecosystem.
For a start, they're the only ones living in the wild outside Africa.
More than 6,300 miles from hippopotamus territory. And no, they did not swim here.
Also, they were brought to Colombia by Pablo Escobar.
All right, we've got a very strange story for you involving hippos and cocaine.
The drug kingpin, who had his own zoo with more than 200 exotic animals.
Why wouldn't you want one of the world's most dangerous animals as pets?
Pablo's pets have long outlived and outthrived their former owner.
Dozens and dozens of hippos have found themselves very far from home.
Where once there were only a few, there could now be as many as 120 so-called cocaine hippos living in the wild in Colombia. And as their number rapidly grows, so do the problems and controversies surrounding them.
Big animals. Big problems.
Including for those tasked with controlling their numbers. How do you feel after successfully castrating a hippo?
I just sit down and cried a little bit because everything is over.
Really? It's that stressful and exhausting?
Yeah, it's really stressful. Yeah. And then when I start to speak with the vets in South Africa, they tell me, we don't used to do that kind of surgeries here. So that's like really new.
So you're kind of a hippo castration pioneer in some ways.
Yes, I think so. I have done 7 surgeries.
And did they all survive?
Of course.
From The Guardian, I'm Michael Safi. Today in focus, the struggle to control the cocaine hippos of Colombia. Joe Parkin-Daniels, you're a journalist who's been based in Bogota for the last 7 years, and you've been following all the strange contortions of this really weird story. But we've got to start at the beginning. When and how did these hippos begin their lives in Colombia?
Pablo Escobar brought these hippos to his estate, Hacienda Nápoles, in the 80s.
Escobar's ranch is a monument to his illegal trade.
And this estate was this vast compound that he had between Bogota and Medellin, Colombia's second city, which was Escobar's base.
The plane over the gate is the first he used to transport illegal drugs.
On this estate, there was an airstrip, a bull ring, a kart racing track. He used to have like little like horse shows, Colombian dressage.
In the grounds, another odd souvenir Escobar bought at auction, the bullet-riddled car of a Chicago gangster.
Also dotted around his estate, statues of dinosaurs. And he would entertain dignitaries, for want of a better word, from the drug underworld. And essentially kind of run his empire from there for large parts of the year. And he brought these hippos over to kind of bolster his menagerie that he was building, which included rhinos, giraffes, zebras. And Escobar imported 4 hippos, 1 male and 3 females, that lived on an artificial lake in the property. And that 1 male of the 4 is the father of all of the hippos and all of the faff around the hippos since then.
Okay, so having that kind of massive private zoo is very much in keeping with the myth of Pablo Escobar that we've come to know from movies and from TV. But from the perspective of someone in Colombia, who was the man, Pablo Escobar?
Pablo Escobar was a brutal, violent businessman, primarily.
Every multinational has a board of directors. These 3 men are the world's top cocaine executives, the Medellin cartel. The chairman of the board is Pablo Escobar.
He made a lot of money bringing cocaine to market.
Money is no object, with profit margins in the billions. The leaders of the cartel can live as they want, while at the same time sustaining their faithful following among the poor.
And he had a Robin Hood kind of aura to people in areas where he was present as almost a political force.
Handing out money to the peasants and building new homes for them when the government won't.
Trying to lift people out of poverty and essentially buying support, turning those communities against the police. So he was many things, but at the end of the day, he was a man responsible for a lot of violence and death.
27 people have already been killed this week and more than 100 injured.
Can you tell me a little bit about that violence? I mean, why is he so notorious?
He's so notorious because he was so wealthy in a country which at the time was so lawless that he was able to accrue so much power.
When is the government going to move against these people?
The government is moving all the time against these people.
But they're living free. They've been living free there for 10 years.
When he was famously sent to prison,
he ended up in Envigado prison.
He built the prison, or the prison was built to his specification.
From which it's alleged he continued running his drug empire.
And when he decided he wanted to break out of that prison, he just walked out the door.
Escobar dressed up as a woman and paid his guards $1.5 million to look the other way while he escaped.
That's the kind of power he had over the state. He couldn't even be imprisoned on the state's terms.
They had been hunting for him for 16 months. These elite police troops operating from their barracks in Medellin.
And he's not killed on a rooftop in Medellin by police until 1993.
President Gaviria, is it true? Is Pablo Escobar really dead?
Yes, Pablo Escobar.
That's quite a long time at the top of the drugs cartel game. Most cartel bosses don't get quite that long an innings.
Yeah, I mean, as you say, it took until 1993 until Escobar's many crimes finally caught up with him. Obviously, that set off a massive shift in the criminal underworld. But what happened to the hippos?
Well, the estate was seized by the government, and the animals, most of them were shipped off to zoos around the world. I think some returned to the wild. But the hippos, due to just being too massive and not seen as being particularly aggressive at this point, there was only 4, they were just left there. They were just left in the Hacienda Nápoles estate to enjoy the Colombian countryside on the banks of the Magdalena River.
What could possibly go wrong? Joe, I wonder, I read this, but is it true that Hacienda Napolis was turned into a theme park?
Yes, that's true. You can go there right now.
We made it to Hacienda Napolis, Pablo Escobar's most famous property.
They have a little Pablo Escobar memory museum there.
They have like two different water parks in it. They have a dino park. They have like probably five hotels in there.
There's a small zoo. They even have some hippos there. You can see like the most famous hippos in the world.
Y miren esas bocotas enormes que tienen. Uf, increíble.
And there's also some horrible pink hippo statues in like little mini skirts. It's kind of weird.
This property is insane.
Is it like a cocaine-themed roller coaster, or am I sort of pushing it too far here?
They haven't gone that far yet, but it is still very tacky. It's not quite that tacky, but it's got good levels of tack.
Yeah, sounds it.
The only thing left of Pablo's at Hacienda Napolis are the hippos.
Okay, so if these hippos are now part of the theme park, what's the big problem?
Only a small number of the hippos are part of the theme park. The rest are just kind of roaming up and down the River Magdalena and its tributaries.
There are fishing villages that dot the river, and we've just spotted what appears to be a hippo who is now trying to hide from us. There it is.
The issue is that they've bred without any natural predator, and so now they say there could be as many as 100, 120 in the wild. These are feral.
So you're saying that the animal management practices at Pablo Escobar's private zoo weren't amazing, and as a result, a lot of these hippos, they've gone forth and procreated.
That's exactly right. If he'd paid as much attention to animal control as he had to settling mafia vendettas, then we wouldn't be in this situation.
It's quite extraordinary, isn't it, that they've been able to establish themselves so effectively in the South American country where they normally live in sub-Saharan Africa. How have they managed to be so successful?
Because Colombia's paradise for most things, and hippos are included. It's riverine, there's forest cover, there's so much vegetation to graze on, there's year-round hippo-friendly weather, there's no drought like you get yearly in Africa, which causes hippos to migrate vast distances, and nothing is trying to kill them. So the conditions are ideal, and I don't know if it's linked. I'm by no means a biologist, but those that study these hippos say that they reach sexual maturity at a younger age, which they say suggests evolutionarily that they really like it here.
Okay, so it sounds like basically a hippo paradise, but one of the main fears surrounding them is their potential threat to people. These are huge animals weighing in at 2 or 3 tons, and every year across Africa, hippos kill an estimated 500 people, making them the world's deadliest mammal after humans, of course. How close do they actually get to human communities in Colombia, and have there been many attacks there?
The region where they are, those aren't highly like populated areas. There's no major cities nearby or anything like that. Occasionally, they'll wander through a village. They wander into farmers' lands every now and then. And in terms of them actually attacking people, that's actually very rare. There's only been 2 documented cases. One happened, incidentally, at the end of October. And even with that case, word is among the chaps investigating that the hippo was kind of threatened by a possible attacking poacher. The thinking in Colombia from the biologists I've spoken to is that here the hippos aren't quite so aggressive because, as we were just speaking about, the conditions here are so ripe for a thriving invasive hippo population. But biological community has said as there are more, there will inevitably be more in contact with humans. It's a matter of time until someone is unfortunately killed by one of these hulking things.
Okay, so aside from the potential that they might kill people, why are Colombians worried about these hippos?
So if this bloat isn't addressed, right now they say it's 80, but maybe as many as 100. It could easily get to as many as 1,000 in not that much time.
Realmente estamos ante una invasión.
We're in the midst of a de facto invasion, and that really worries us.
Then you're looking at problems with local ecosystems.
None of the other animals here can compete with the hippos.
Biologists are particularly worried about how it could affect other riverine animals.
The hippo's excrement is impairing the water quality. Fish are dying, including the ones that herons and cormorants depend on to survive.
Including the West Indian manatee, which comes into Colombia's rivers, crocodiles.
And Joe, you said this bloat. Bloat, of course, is the collective noun for hippos, is it?
It is.
Fantastic, fantastic. Surely a simple, though perhaps not universally popular solution to all of this is to just cull some of the hippos.
Yes, I mean, that would be a solution. One that authorities have toyed with, infamously in 2009, there was a hippo named Pepe who was killed by the Colombian military because of reports that he'd been killing calves, destroying crops, and like knocking down farmers' fences. But they released a photo in what was just an absolute PR blunder outside of the animal rights concerns of all these soldiers kind of standing around this killed hippo like a trophy, almost reminiscent of the image of all the police officers and military officials standing around the body of Escobar when he was killed in Medellin in 1993. And that image sparked off a national and international outcry, massive protests in Colombia and around the world, where protesters would kind of turn out wearing hippo masks. And it became a PR nightmare for the government. And so the hippos suddenly took on like a kind of new place in the national conscience. And subsequently, a law was actually passed making it illegal to kill any of the remaining number of Escobar's hippos.
Saludo, hipopotamólogo! ¿Cómo están?
And these hippos have also become a kind of tourist attraction in their own right. Local farmers, when these hippos wander onto their land and kind of stay there for a number of days, weeks or whatever, they let any passing tourist know, hey, chuck me a couple of quid and I'll show you a hippo. And that includes tourists taking little boat trips on a kind of safari to see these hippos. So they've become their own little cottage industry.
Vamos a visitar hipopótamo, los gorditos de Colombia.
Coming up, Gina's surprisingly personal quest to control Escobar's lumbering legacy. Gina, you're from Medellin, and you were a child living there when Pablo Escobar's compound, Hacienda Napolis, including its collection of animals, was at its peak. What do you remember about that place growing up?
Well, at the beginning, when you're a child, you're not aware of who is this guy and what he do for a living. So everybody could go there and watch the animals. So for me, it was like a nice guy who let me into the private zoo.
It was open to the public?
Yes, my dad used to have a farm near. So every time we were going to the farm, I asked daddy if we can go to see the zoo, because since I was a child, animals are like my favorite thing in the whole world.
What was it like to grow up in Medellin in the 80s when that violence started to get out of control?
The feeling I had is danger because you couldn't go out on the street.
This is the most violent of cities. There's a killing every 3 hours, some committed by local motorcycle gangs who murder for as little as $100.
Mom and dad would really scare about what is happening. Then they explained to me that that nice guy of the zoo, it's a really bad guy.
So far, the drug traffickers' nine-month bombing campaign has claimed over 250 lives.
At some point, my dad died because of the war of the 80s. Unfortunately, he was in the wrong place at the wrong time, so.
God, I'm really sorry to hear that. It's such a strange turn of events that this man, Escobar, was responsible for your father's death, and now, years later, you're playing a really important role in controlling his hippo's now rampant population. Like, how do you make sense of that?
I don't know. When I decided to work with wildlife animals, I didn't imagine that I finished working with hippos and would be a hippo expert. but I don't put in my mind like he's related with my dad or something like that. Now, for me, it's like my job.
We've heard from Joe about the complicated place that these hippos now occupy in Colombia, and you're part of a government organization tasked with monitoring and controlling their herd to stop it getting out of control. In the piece that Joe wrote about this in The Guardian, he quotes you saying that you're no longer using that castration method that you so vividly described to us earlier, that you're now using a form of hippo contraception in the form of a vaccine. Why the change?
We are hoping that this new vaccine will help us to get to more hippos in really short time and with really short money, because a surgery, it's really expensive.
Guanacon is a vaccine against GnRH, which is the hormone that drives all of reproduction in humans, in hippos. And the idea is if we can suppress that, it stops the reproductive hormones.
How do you administer this vaccine?
We capture the hippos in the corral, and then we shoot the vaccine with this shotgun. And that's it. When they are ready, we open the door and they are free again.
Yeah, that does sound a lot simpler than the castration process. How long does it last?
We have to put the second doses in a year, and then the hippos will get sterilized like 9 years. And then in 9 years, you have to put the other doses, and that's it. They can be sterilized forever.
So you've got to administer the vaccine and then find them again a year later and then again after 9 years?
Yes. I don't know. With hippos, everything, it's difficult and complicated and expensive. They are really territorial, so they don't like the people go near them. They come really, really aggressive. So in the future, if we don't stop the population of hippos, there will be so much hippos that we're going to start to see what is happening in South Africa, that hippos kill people all around the year.
That's an absolutely terrifying prediction. So you'd think that it wouldn't be controversial to try to reduce their population by a controlled hunt, for example. So why do you think these hippos have become such a divisive subject in Colombia?
I think because hippos are related to Pablo Escobar. So I think that's why people protect them, because there is money that come with the tourists.
Pablo, pues realmente fue una persona que aquí en la región pues se portó bien, ¿cierto? Fue una persona que en sus momentos cuando entró...
Because in the past, Pablo Escobar was making sure that all the people have the way to live. So they said Pablo left the hippos so they can still live from him. He didn't let us with nothing.
Wow, so they see it as some kind of legacy of welfare. Like he left them as a gift so that these locals could continue to survive.
Yeah, something like that.
Decimos que son los verdaderos herederos pues de Pablo Escobar, ¿cierto? Los hipopótamos.
Joe, Pablo Escobar never got his day in court, but the hippos have. A US court in October declared that they were legally interested persons, meaning, well, what does that mean? Tell me about that case.
That case is a quirky one, as everything in the wider case of these hippos is.
Pablo Escobar's hippos have taken over Colombia, and now they've been determined to be legal persons with rights. I love it.
That case, which I believe came from a court in Ohio, ruled that hippos are interested persons, which means that another hearing down the line in the US, animals could be granted kind of a means of defending their rights. But ultimately, what it really does is it just shows once again how these hippos are casting such a shadow over animal rights discussions around the world, which is just one element of this story that is fascinating.
Gina, finally, do you think that they're always going to be Pablo Escobar's hippos, or one day they'll just be Colombia's?
My dream is in one point we control this population and we can get it out of here. We don't have hippos in Colombia, only the ones on the zoos. But the reality is I don't see that in a future. The people have told us there are some up in the coast of Colombia, so really far.
So these hippos are potentially spread hundreds of kilometres across all of Colombia?
Yeah, yes.
That's astonishing.
Yeah, yeah. I think the hippos will stay here in Colombia a long time. They will be here forever, I think.
Gina, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
That was Dr. Gina Cerna and Joe Parkin Daniels. Thanks very much to them. This episode was produced by Rose De La Beatty and Georgina Quach. Sound design was by Axel Cacoutier. The executive producers are Phil Maynard and Archie Bland. Back tomorrow.
This is The Guardian.